Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. It is a blessed day today. This is the day the Lord has made, so we should rejoice and be glad in it. Not just this day, but the day of salvation that we currently live and operate and function in is the day of salvation for God's children. So it's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord and see everyone assembled together this morning. I was watching my kids playing yesterday. Holly was out working and I was at home with the kids by myself. And by the way, I just want to thank God for my wife, Holly. Yes, I did just digress. In my opinion, she's the mother of the year this year. And she is such a blessing, raising our two little girls. I am raising them too, you know, you understand, you know. I hadn't said, here you go, you know, no. But, you know, there's a certain thing about a mom and, you know, two girls, you know, when it comes to doing hair. You know, daddy doesn't have it going on too much. I receive grace when I get ready to have to do something with their hair. But Holly gets them dressed and, you know, gets them all beautified and pretty and does their hair, is, you know, at home with them every day, you know, getting them lunch and dinner and breakfast. And we, you know, we work together on getting them to bed. But I don't know, moms have that special touch, especially when it comes to little girls. And Holly is just a wonderful, wonderful blessing to me and to our family. And so since I'm up here and I got the mic, you know, I get a chance to say something. I'm sure all the other fathers and husbands in here would say the same thing. So, but I got the mic this morning. Anyway, back to where I digressed from. I was watching my two little girls playing yesterday. And I was just, you just kind of observe them, and it just warmed my heart to see the kids playing together in unity. It warms my heart to see my children loving each other. And when, and yes, they are two going on three and almost 1 year old, but they have had their share of disagreements among each other. And whenever I see them butting heads, I don't like that as the father. I immediately seek to reconcile my children into that love relationship. And it just brings out when Jesus said, you know, one of the greatest commands I give to you is that you what? Love one another. That you love one another. And I see that on the natural level as a father to see my two little girls playing together, loving each other, spending time together in unity. I really, really enjoy watching them hang out together, come together, assemble together. And so it just gave me a picture of how God sees us, his children, when we come together in unity, when we come together in fellowship, when we assemble ourselves together this morning. So praise God for that. Well, let's go ahead and get into the word for this morning. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. As he is, so also are we in this world. We're in a time, we're in a season where there's a lot of families coming together. Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, a lot of families come together. They spend time together. People leave town and go back home where they were raised, grandparents, parents, aunts, uncles come in town to visit you. But a lot of families are hanging out together, spending time together in this season that we're in. And sometimes what happens, and I'm sure for some of you this has happened, when the family is all hanging out together and you're talking and you're sharing, inevitably the photo album comes out. And family and friends start going through the photo album, and they're looking at pictures of you or your cousin or your niece, and they're reminiscing about your childhood. They're reminiscing about your infancy. And they say things like, "I remember when you was knee-high to a goat." What are they doing? They are recalling who you used to be. They are reminiscing because it was a special time for them or for the family, what have you. And there's nothing wrong with reflecting about good times, where we've been, what we've learned, what we've been through. The only problem comes when you don't let that family member get past who they used to be. Or that family member doesn't let you get past the 2-year-old who used to run around and do whatever. Naked, whatever, jumping out of the bathtub. I was hanging out with Brianna yesterday. As I said, I was watching my 2 girls play, and she's about to be 3 in February. And it seems like we just brought her home from the hospital a few months ago. The time goes by fast, and the blessing of technology, y'all know how many pictures I have and videos I have on this phone of Brianna and Catherine. And frequently, I go back and look at pictures when she was just born, when she was 2 months old, 6 months old, a year old, and I just go, wow, where'd the time go? I remember when she, Holly and I will start talking, remember when she did this, and remember when she did that, and it was just a cute time. It was just a special time. But now she's almost 3. And she can do things at almost 3 that she could not do when she was 1. The problem comes when, and this has happened, I find myself treating her like she's still 1. But she's not 1. She's almost 3. She doesn't need me to pick her up to do anything. She has become adept now. We got her potty trained almost a year ago when she turned 2. She got to the point where she is able to tell us, "I need to go to the bathroom." And then we got her, you know. Now she goes to the bathroom by herself. We have the whole house set up. She has a little stool in front of the toilet, a little toilet seat, and she says, "I do it by myself." She said, "Just stand over there and watch me. It's a performance." It's the performance she goes through. She runs and she does her business. Now, she doesn't close the door. She doesn't want the door closed because she wants everybody to know what she's doing. She might even invite you in to read a book. Do you want to read with me? Do you want to hang out? I told you before, I understand why some ladies tend to go to the bathroom in groups. It's a time of fellowship. It's a time of hanging out. You know, it starts when they're very, very little. But there are things that she can do now that she couldn't do before. And if I continue to treat her like she's 6 months old, like she's a year old, like she's 2 years old, then I will not allow her to be who she is today. And so the problem is not with reflecting, because that's a very common thing that we as parents and we as family do with other family members, pulling out the photo album and reflecting on where we used to be. But the problem becomes when they will not let you be who you are today and thus not benefit from all you are today. Because at 2 years old, there was only so much, if anything at all, that I could do for you, for the family. But now, I may be able to take care of that bill for you. Right now, by the power of God, I can remove that sickness from your body. Right now, I can bring and minister life to you. Right now, I can drive you somewhere. When I was five, I couldn't take you anywhere. Now I can. Right now, I can give you wisdom and insight and understanding. Right now, I can help you. When I was a child, when I was a baby, there was nothing that I could do for you. And as long as you keep me in the place of a child, as long as you keep me in the place of a baby, then you cannot benefit from who I am today. So it's Christmas time, and it's that time of the year where many people will be pulling out Jesus baby pictures. They'll be pulling out the photo album. They will be looking at the baby pictures and reminiscing on who he used to be, who he was. And some will do this because they just don't know him. They aren't born again. And it's just a thing to do at this time of the year. Some people will do it because they're religious. And somehow, some way, that is the spiritual thing to do. And then there are some who will do it somewhat properly as a slight reflection, but understanding who he is today. There is nothing wrong with having a nativity scene in your yard, as an ornament on your Christmas tree, or if you're going to go to some event. But if you do, understand this. That's not who he is today.
Amen.
That is not who he is today. Now, there's nothing wrong with it. Our Bible highlights that time in his life. So how could there be anything wrong with us highlighting that time in his life the same way the Bible does? But the Bible doesn't stop there. And so for us to stop there, that becomes the problem. So there's no condemnation this morning. If you've got a nativity ornament, so be it. If you've got a nativity scene out in front of your house, so be it. Make sure you understand that's a small time of reflection. Yes, he did come. He had to come. Yes, he was born. Yes, the wise men came. All of that is true. All of that happened. That's fine. That had to happen. That was prophesied. But understand this. That is not who he is today.
Amen. All
right. So this morning, how do you see Christ? How do you see Yeshua? How do you interact with him? What is your mentality? What is your mindset when it comes to Yeshua? When it comes to Christ or Jesus Christ? Many deal with Christ based on who he used to be rather than who he is today. But what does Hebrews chapter 3 in verse 13 tell us? But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called what? Today. So that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said what? Today, if you hear his voice. Today. So God speaks of today. What is your salvation today? Who is Christ today? How do you see him? How do you interact with him? Some people still see a prophesied Messiah. He hasn't come yet. The prophecies of the Old Testament in their mind still have not yet been fulfilled. He is the one who was still to come. Some people see him as a baby in a manger. But what can a baby in a manger do for you? If he is only a baby in a manger, then you're still in your sins. If he is only a babe in a manger, then he's not raised from the dead. They see this baby in a manger and they feel good because, oh, look how cute he is. That must have been a dramatic time, and there was no room for him in the inn. He had to be put in the manger, and I wonder how Mary felt and Joseph felt. It must have been cold outside, and they loved the sweetness of the story. But I ask you this, or anyone who has stopped his life there, what can a babe in a manger do for you? Some people see him as the Son of God operating in the earth. But when you stop only there, and he was the Son of God, became the Son of Man, but he was the Son operating in the earth. But if you stop it there, then it's history. He did this then. He did that over here. And so you have people who travel to where this took place and where that took place. And they are limited to the historical accounts and the historical actions of what Jesus did when he was on the earth. Now, it's good if you don't stop him there. Yes, he left an example for how we should operate and function in the earth. He left us an example of how to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out the devil. We receive all of that, yes. But his life and his purpose did not stop there. And to stop him there is to relegate him to history. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Some people limit their walk with God and the kingdom of God with this verse. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. That is true. God anointed Jesus, and he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. Again, the problem comes when someone's mindset gets settled on that's Jesus. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. That's what he did. Look at what he did. He did great things. He did great things. And they aren't able to make the translation that because he did it and he now lives in me, I can do it. I've been called to do it. I've been called to heal the sick. I've been called to raise the dead. I've been called to preach the gospel of the kingdom. For those who stop him at his baby pictures, for those who stop him solely at what he did when he's on the earth, they limit themselves because they don't see themselves in him. He is an historical figure who went about doing good. Some are able to go beyond him operating in the earth, and they stop at him hanging on the cross. They stop at his death on the cross. And you see these people with a crucifix on their neck and Jesus still on it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 17. Verse 17, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless and you are still in your sins. If your Lord and Savior is still on a cross, he has not been raised from the dead. And if he has not been raised from the dead, then you're still in your sins. You're still in trouble. Colossians chapter 3. In verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is. Where is he? He is above. Keep seeking the things which are above, where Christ is. Christ is today not on a cross. He is not in the grave. If your Lord and Savior is still as the crucifix you wear in your jewelry or you have on your wall at your house, if he's still destitute, beat up, broken, and hanging on the cross, he's not been raised from the dead, he's not ascended to the Father, and he has not taken a position of rest by seating, you're still in trouble. Yes, he was beaten. Yes, he did hang on a cross. Yes, the bruises that he took, the beating that he took for us. Yes, we embrace that. We accept that. We reflect on that. We teach that. But we don't stop there. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 1. Nope, that is the wrong scripture. All right, we'll come back to that. We'll come back to that. Is it 6:1, Pastor? All right. Nope, that's not the one I was looking for either. But that's okay. We'll come back to that. God will bring us back around to that. So some people see him as destitute on the cross. Some people see him as the risen Lord, our risen Savior. John chapter 20, verse 17. Jesus said to her, speaking to Mary, "Stop clinging to me. Why? For I have not yet ascended to the Father." Now, is he raised from the dead?
Yes.
Yes, he is raised from the dead. What has he at this point when he's talking to Mary not done? He's not ascended to the Father. So I don't want to stop him at being raised from the dead either, as powerful as that is. That death could not hold him. Hell could not hold him. No matter how hard they tried, God raised him from the dead. That is tremendous. It's powerful. We must have that as a part of our doctrine. He didn't stop there. And so we don't want to just limit him to the risen Lord, although he is the risen Lord. And then there are those who see him as Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 that we read just said, ascended and seated at the right hand of God. Let's take a look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 again. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, see, if your Lord and Savior is still a baby in the manger, he's not raised up, therefore you're not raised up with him. And those whose Lord and Savior is still only knee-high to a grasshopper, cute and cuddly, no wonder that their life is full of hopelessness, no authority, no ability, no abundance, no overflow, no faith, no hope. Why? Because your Lord is still cute and cuddly, baby in a manger. If your Lord is still destitute and hanging on a cross, it's no wonder that life is not a reality for you, that you're waiting for the sweet by and by before you experience any bit of the kingdom and any bit of life. And if you have stopped with the resurrection, as powerful as that is, who is now seated at the right hand making intercession for you on an infinite basis? If in your mind he is not ascended to heaven, he is not seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting for all of his enemies to be made his footstool. The Bible says that he is our high priest who makes what? Intercession. If you sin, you have a what? Advocate with the Father, and he himself is the propitiation for your sin. It's no wonder that people feel so guilty when they do something wrong. Their Lord isn't at the right hand, rested, making intercession for you. This is the power in not limiting who Christ is based on who we used to be. No more than an aunt, an uncle, a mom, a dad, a grandfather, grandmother can benefit from now their senior child, their mature child, and all that she or he has become, all that they have. And sometimes you hear them say, "You'll always be that cute little girl. You'll always be my little angel." My little angel can't pay your bills. My cute little girl can't buy you a house. My little darling can't bring health to your body. If you don't allow them to be who they are today and who they've become, then you miss out on the benefit that they can bring to you. If you knew who it is that talked to you, you would put a demand on them and you would receive a blessing. Because they don't understand who you are today, they miss out on all that you've become. If we don't understand as he is, so are we in the earth. What are we missing out on? So, in this time and in this season, as you have opportunity with friends, with family, with coworkers, and the topic of the nativity scene comes up, take the opportunity to bring them further, to bring them beyond the baby pictures, to bring them beyond the photo album, Yes, that was necessary. That was nice. But you know what else? He was beaten for you. He was crucified for you. He was buried on your behalf. He was raised from the dead. Death could not hold him. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession on your behalf if you'll receive it. All of your sin, past, present, and future, is gone. Your high priest is your representative in heaven at the right hand of the Father. You now have a living high priest with no beginning of life and no end of days. He remains a priest forever. And his priesthood is based on the power of an eternal life. That's the one that we stand in today. Ephesians says that we are seated with him in power, far above all principality, all dominion. If your Lord and Savior is still resurrected, but still in the earth, and he is not ascended far above, would it be far to reason that I don't see myself as being far above the situation, far above the circumstance? If he is not sat down and rested, is it any wonder that I am not at rest? How do you see him? Is he a babe in the manger in your eyes and in your mind? Is he destitute, hanging on the cross? Our Lord and Savior, he was on the cross, and it was nasty. But he was brought down to the grave. That could not hold him. He was raised up, and then he ascended to the Father, and he's alive today. He will be the returning king. But today he lives forever to make intercession for you. He's the one who brings you rest. He's the one who gives you dominion over the devil, over all principality, over all dominion. Let that be your mindset as you engage Christ. And in this time and in this season where many are focused on the old photo album, focus on the babe in the manger. Nothing, please, nothing against that. Nothing at all. But as you have the opportunity, allow God to use you to take their thinking further to where it needs to be. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, that was the message for today. Amen. Stand with me. Pastor's coming. And I'm gone. No.
Just hang loose.
Okay.
Brother Brian will be carrying the dismissal. Brother Damon was not allowed to exercise his gift today. We've had the last 2 weeks a whole lot of people out, our minister of music, our head usher, our board members, heads of departments, other people, enjoying a cruise down in the Caribbean. Sister Gail couldn't wait for the boat to get back, so she came back early. But I want to remind you, if you didn't get a bulletin, grab one. There's some on the stand in the back. There's some on the stand in the foyer. Get one next Sunday. Next Sunday, the 18th at 6 p.m. is our family Christmas dinner. There's sign-up sheets if you can bring food. We want you to bring food, bring friends, bring family. It's a great time to introduce strangers, outsiders, to the church. Tell your family, tell your friends, Come have dinner with us. Break bread with us. Get to know these people. They're not all crazy. But that's at 6 p.m. next Sunday. Bill and Renee Morris will be with us. And time of leading us in some Christmas carols and singing to celebrate that season where he was, but not where he is. So sign up for that. The church offices will be closed the 26th through the 30th. Tutoring is still Saturdays at 12 to 2 with Brother Sean Bradley.
For the spring, sir. No, sir.
Huh?
That was the last Saturday of the spring semester.
Okay. Get your pens out and just strike through that in the bulletin. Bad announcement. But I do want to see you Wednesday night. I want to see you again Sunday. I want the blessings of the Lord to rest upon you. Now, prepare to receive as the blessing of the Lord is released upon you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, your word has gone forth this morning, and we receive it as fresh bread, Father. I declare and decree, Father, that it has gone into fertile ground and it brings forth fruit, Father. In this time and in this season, Father, we lay hold of opportunities to minister, to present Christ as he is, Father, to bring people beyond religiosity, to bring people beyond the past, to bring people beyond tradition, and bring people into life and that life more abundantly, Father. Use us, flow through us, Father. Give us the words to speak and the things to say at those opportune times, Lord. In this time and in this season, we thank you that Christ was born. We thank you that Christ came into the earth, and he did. We thank you that treasures were brought to him, Father, so that he was equipped with all the material wealth he needed to operate and function in the earth. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that he gave us an example of how to live and function and operate. We know that. We accept that. We embrace that, Father. But we celebrate, Lord, that we are in a risen Savior who has ascended to your right hand and now lives and makes intercession for us and enables us to be victorious here in the earth, Father. We celebrate that victory, Lord. Thank you, Father. You are blessed. Go with God.